In the studio with me is James Pearson. He's the CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thumbs up, thumbs down?
Oh, great question. Look, I think we're heading in the right direction with this budget, but we would have liked to have seen more ambition. And why do I say that? Look, I think we'd like to have seen more ambition in terms of long-term budget repair. We'd like to see less reliance on increasing tax revenue. But let's acknowledge that there are some positive announcements in this budget. From a business community's point of view, we're delighted the government is going to stay the course and work hard to deliver the remaining tax cuts for business.
So you were worried that perhaps they might change their position on the corporate tax cuts, given what we've heard in this from certain senators?
Look, I don't think this government's ever indicated that it's been for turning on this issue, but it's always a relief to see the budget come out and to see it's baked into those figures. And of course, look, personal tax cuts, starting with people at the lower end of the income scale, that's something we've called for as well. That is giving some people some of their money back, and over time and years to come, they'll extend to people on higher incomes in a little bit like the tax cuts for business, start with small businesses and extend over time to larger businesses. And in fact, it's a reminder to the opposition that it's really important from a small business point of view that they commit to supporting the tax cuts that have already been passed into law.
How about budget repair? Because Fran Kelly just gave us sort of a bit of a summary on what was in the budget, and she says that there's not a lot on budget repair. There aren't a lot of sort of changes there.
Well, one of the things it underlines for me, because the budget is based on strong economic growth, is the importance of getting the conditions right for business to invest, to create wealth, to employ, to provide that foundation, that stable foundation on which budget forecasts of continued strong growth will depend. And that's why we mustn't ever lose sight of the fact that most people in Australia with a job are working in or for a business. And that's why we've got to be doing everything we can to encourage business to invest, to create wealth and employ.
And so you think broadly this is a budget that provides broader long-term structural reform, because some people are analysing now that the Treasurer is, well, he's still on his feet actually, but delivering the budget, that perhaps it looks like an election budget.
I can understand why people say that this looks like an election budget. There is something in this for a lot of people, certainly for business. There are some welcome things, but on the other hand, we're disappointed to see that although the government has listened to some of our concerns in terms of funding for apprenticeships, that's really important, both for apprentices, budding apprentices, and businesses who want to train and employ them. Some of our concerns met there, but really they haven't gone far enough. I think the targeting of the research and development tax incentive is negative. And as I've said, I think we could have seen greater ambition for structural budget repair, because when you look at the out years, you do see the lines flattening out. We would have liked to have seen a stronger commitment in the out years to that repair. But it's a budget which does contain good things for business, for sure. And it is welcome, as I said, that there is a move to provide tax relief for people starting on lower incomes and then progressively moving to those on higher incomes.
James Pearson, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
James Pearson is the CEO of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Also in the studio with me is the Australian Council of Trade Unions Secretary, Sally McManus. There's been a hashtag that you've created today saying you don't want your $10. But this tax cut, this tax reform, at least the personal part, actually is targeted at the lower and the middle end, isn't it?
Well, I have to say we were really shocked when we saw the way the tax cuts work out. So you're going to be in the same tax bracket if you're earning the minimum wage, so $37,000 a year, or if you're earning $200,000 a year. And put it in simple figures, if you're earning $37,000 a year, you'll get $3.76 a week. $200,000, you'll get $137.60 a week. And that's on top of the other unfairness, which is the $80 billion corporate tax cut. So we think that that's clearly just not a fair way to go about things. And in the end, it means the government will have no revenue, or less revenue, I should say, which means less money spent on services.
The government says under this plan, the proportion of Australian taxpayers projected to face a marginal tax rate of 32.5% or less will increase from 63% to 94% by 2024-25. Isn't that a positive reform for workers in those brackets?
Well, effectively what it's doing is just creating one big tax bracket from $37,000 to $200,000. And we don't think it's right that if you're earning $200,000 a year, you pay the same marginal tax rate, you know, in the same tax bracket as someone on the minimum wage. Like, we should have a progressive system which makes sure that those people who can pay do pay.
So you're going to be arguing now over the next week, as everyone's trying to get their arguments out about what this budget means, that this is a flatter tax system, is less progressive and is worse for workers.
That's
going to be what you
right.
argue?
The second thing is this, is that it's founded on the assumption that wages are going to go up, and this budget says they're going to go up by 2.5% next year. They're only 2% at the moment, and we think that that's crazy, and clearly crazy, because there's cuts to penalty rates for 700,000 retail and hospitality workers coming in again on the 1st of July. They don't want to support a proper increase to the minimum wage, and they're doing nothing about insecure work. So if you have your whole budget predicated on wages all of a sudden jumping by 1.2% a year, that's a big problem.
And look, according to Frank Kelly, there aren't significant cuts in the budget.
Unless you work at the ABC, it's 83,000, 83.7 million to the ABC.
83 point what for the ABC?
$83.7 million in cuts to the ABC.
Over the four forward estimates?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, so the ABC is getting a significant cut?
It is. It is. The other thing they're doing is they're cutting 1,280 jobs out of the public sector. That's mainly in areas like Centrelink.
And is it also the Peter Dutton's department? Am I correct?
No, my understanding is that it's not. It's in social services. Okay. Stand to be corrected, but we already have 55 million unanswered calls in Centrelink.
Sally McManus, we'll hear more from you in coming days. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
That's Sally McManus. She's the Secretary of the ACTU. Also in the studio, senior Australians have also got a bit of a look in here, aged care being a part of the focus of this budget. Ian Yates is the Chief Executive of the Council on the Ageing Quota. Welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
Is it a good budget for older Australians?
Look, it is a significant budget for older Australians in two respects. Certainly, you've talked about aged care, and we've seen some important steps in implementing the reforms of the last couple of years. Significant number of home care packages, which had been flagged. Obviously, we'll be wanting more of those. That's where older Australians want to go. There are a range of other measures to improve how the aged care system works. And including over the longer term, where we will see a significant shift as a whole from residential to home care. And the government's commissioned a study now to plan how to free up residential care so that it can be much more responsive to consumers. But on a broader front, this is a budget that starts to think about an ageing Australia in terms of things like the 45-year-old and 65-year-old checkpoints. The measures in employment are modest, but they are proactive. So instead of saying, let's wait till people are unemployed, let's wait till they're long-term unemployed, let's get in there early and think about how we can create opportunities for skills and job opportunities. You know, we'll have to see how well they're resourced, although we've certainly been told that if some of those measures work, then more money will flow because they're proactive. Okay. The measures to strengthen retirement incomes are also positive. In terms of, A, the work bonus for pensioners, keeping people in touch with the workforce.
Right.
And enabling people, if they want, to draw down on the equity in their home and use that without having to have a clunky reverse mortgage.
Ian Yates, thank you. We're running into the news. Cassandra Goldie's the CEO of ACOS. You've only got a minute, though, unfortunately. Lucky you're on Breakfast Radio tomorrow. So tell us, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Well, the thumbs up, as Ian has just said, there is good news on the aged care front. But what it also highlights, Patricia, is a huge gap that's yet to be dealt with. So 14,000 aged care packages, but 100,000, sorry, is the backlog, 100,000. And so we come back overall to say this is not a budget that is good for, particularly for people on low incomes. We've got billions in personal income tax cuts that the government's announced tonight, stretching over 7 years. Look, the figures, I've just heard somebody say it's $140 billion that's going to cost the budget. Nothing on Newstart. You know, for the government to say this is a budget to help people on low incomes and to immediately hand out tax cuts like that, our big worry is we're not going to have enough money for
Cassandra
essential services
Goldie.
Into the future.
Cassandra Goldie is the boss of ACOS. This is RN Drive. It's news time. It's 8:00.